96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There has been a lot of news about mental illness and mental health lately. None of it very good. Most of it attached to high-profile crimes and deadly violence. But the reality is there's much more to addressing mental health than what we see in the headlines. This is especially true in the Black community. We are talking about this tonight on this Medical Monday. My guests are Jan Desper-Peters. She is the executive director of the Black Mental Health Alliance. Dr. Lakeeta Carter, she is a licensed psychologist. And Kristen Mitchell, she has been treated for mental illness and is now living a healthy, normal life. If you want to talk about this, because we're asking, why is it difficult for the Black community to talk about mental health and mental illness openly, to bring it out of the closet, bring it into the light? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Ladies, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start with Dr. Carter. Dr. Carter, from your perspective, sum up the state of Black mental health in America. Would you say it's the perception, is it good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in between? Are we starting to address it, or do we still have a long way to go?
Well, we're starting to address it. It's gotten better over the years, but we certainly do have a long way to go. You can see a crying out from the Black community about lots of different things that they're experiencing that other groups of people don't experience, where we live and where we work and where we play. And unfortunately, it seems like we haven't been heard, and the right people or enough people don't experience what we experience to be able to advocate for us as well. So we need to advocate for ourselves. We're doing that, but that needs to continue. And, of course, over the years, things have gotten better, but we still have some work to do.
What is the Black Mental Health Alliance, Jan, and what's the purpose?
Well, the Black Mental Health Alliance is a nonprofit organization. We were started by a group of mental health professionals over 30 years ago, actually 31 years ago, and the need was really around cultural competence and cultural sensitivity. These people, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, nurses, were working in the field and saw that there was a need for the practitioner to receive more training and consultation around cultural competence and how to really look at those issues as they were seeing clients of color. And so that's why our organization was started. And we've been doing that, you know, over the years. Our primary customer, if you will, are people who are looking for culturally competent clinicians. They call our office. We have a membership base, and they call our office and they get the very friendly voice of an information and referral specialist who can help them identify the correct person for them. So it's more than just, I'm going to give you the name of a person and you call them and hope it works out for you. Good luck to you.
Okay, but wait a minute. Why would one need to be culturally sensitive? Isn't depression? Isn't schizophrenia? Isn't paranoia? Isn't that colorless?
Not really.
Okay, help me with that, Dr. Carter.
No, not really. So yes, there are some universal symptoms of depression, like there are universal symptoms of anxiety. However, depression manifests differently in different groups of people. We see that across genders, and we see that across socioeconomic classes, and we also see that across ethnicity. So no, depression is not depression all the way across the board. For example, men sometimes exhibit depression and exhibit depression in irritability as well as anger, and it could be depression. It's not necessarily an anger, a problem with anger. It could be the underlying problem could be depression, and we see that in men, and women exhibit depression differently. So no, it's not necessarily the same. We see that the people who live in urban distress have a higher propensity for depression and anxiety. They also have a higher likelihood of having trauma, having experienced it or witnessed it. And all of those things are things that people who live in other areas of our nation, suburbia, urban areas, may not experience. So no, it doesn't quite look the same in everyone.
Okay, Kristen, for those who aren't familiar, and you've been here before, tell us about your experience with mental illness quickly, please.
Yeah, for me, my experience with mental illness was documented in my memoir, He Wasn't My Daddy, and I really talk about what depression looked like for me in my life. I was clinically depressed, and I had issues at work. I had issues at home. I had issues maintaining stable relationships. I was very, very sick. I was on medication. I've been to psychologists, and it took me about 5.5 to 6 years to really get to a place where I was healthier. And that time period allowed me to heal, seeing doctors and going to group therapy, medication management, all of those things helped me to heal. But I was in a very dark place. I had a really hard time coping with what was going on, and I had a really hard time figuring out how to get back to my normal sense of living.
You had some bouts with attempted suicide.
Yes, I attempted suicide twice. The first time I attempted to overdose on a cocktail of pills, and the second time I actually tried to throw myself out of a moving truck on the highway with my mother in the car. And so fortunately for me, I had a really great support system. I had really great doctors and medical care to help me kind of navigate the process. And I had a lot of supportive people around me to help me navigate that process.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, Jan, mm-hmm. because the Black Mental Health Alliance is right now at the very beginning of a year-long push to address Black mental health in the Black community. Tell me about that.
Most certainly. And when the uprisings were taking place in Baltimore the very next day, our board president called me and said, Jan, what is the Black Mental Health Alliance going to do? And immediately, within 1 week, we had what we called a call to action for Black mental health professionals and community healers. And we have actually had three of those sessions. And basically what we're trying to do is to bring together national thought leaders as well as Baltimore people who work in the community and the community persons to kind of talk about what are the real issues. I mean, we could guess, and you know, people have written papers about it and that kind of thing, but we really want to hear from the people. We want to know what the issues are, and then once we kind of identify what the issues are, identify resources, and then identify a plan to address those issues.
I want to ask you more about that, but I do want to go to the phones briefly. 202-319-7810 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. Calling area 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Whoops, I got to go to a break. When I come back, we will go to the phones. Kevin, you are first. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about Black mental health. Why is it so difficult to talk about this in the Black community? Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. It's a Medical Monday, and tonight we're talking about speaking more openly about mental health and mental illness in the Black community. My guests are Jan Desper-Peters, Executive Director of the Black Mental Health Alliance, Dr. Lakeeta Carter, licensed psychologist, and Kristen Mitchell. She has been treated for mental illness and is now living a healthy, normal life. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area. 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. Kevin calling from Northwest D.C. Kevin, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for another great show.
Thank you.
My issue is that when our young children are diagnosed with ADD and ADHD. That is a form of mental health, but it becomes medicated. You don't get to the root of the problem because it's under the disguise of drugs. And I feel that that's one of the problems. And then it's been embarrassing in the Black community to identify yourself as having mental issues. So we become ashamed. Parents become conscious that my child is not right where it needs to be talked about and put out in the open. I'd like for the panel to comment on that aspect of it.
Okay, Dr. Carter, please, can you address that quickly, please?
Sure. So sometimes when we have mental health issues, there are lots of ways that we can treat them, just like there are lots of ways that you can treat medical health issues. And one of those ways is medication, and sometimes that helps greatly. It really depends on the person's body. It depends on the severity of the illness, and it depends on the treatments that are available to you. Medication is not going to work for everyone, but indeed it does work for some children to use medication. It's also up to the parent to let the doctor know what you're seeing in your child. So if your child is on a new medication, you shouldn't just trust that that's the medication for your child, nor should you trust that that's the medication for you. You should look for symptoms of success with the medication as well as things that are not fitting and go back to your doctor. Perhaps it's a simple tweak of a dosage, or perhaps you should try a different medication.
But what about, Jan, the attitude in this particular case that the parent has when the issue comes up and you begin to talk about it? How should that issue be addressed? Okay, if your child is on medication, do you shut it down? Do you shield yourself, your family, your child? Or how do you approach that?
Well, some of it, again, Harold, goes back to the issue that I spoke about in the beginning in relationship to cultural competency. So there is a history in the African-American community of not sharing business outside of your home. So you don't talk about it outside of what's going on in your house. Sort of what goes on in our house stays in our house. And then there's also these issues of trust as it relates to the experiments that were done on African-Americans, specifically the Tuskegee experiment. And so there are issues, these issues of distrust. There's issues of people just not understanding. And then there's these issues of not sharing things outside of your home. And so really what the Black Mental Health Alliance does is we continue the dialogue. We continue to dispel myths. We continue to dispel the lies. And we continue to have dialogue about what mental health and mental illness really is. And we have people like Dr. Carter, who happens to be a board member of our organization, to do presentations like this and around Baltimore and the Baltimore metropolitan area to inform people about what the realities and the truths are about mental illness in children and adults.
And, you know, I want to ask Kristen about this also, but I need to take a break. And so, Kristen, I want you to hold on to this piece because I do have a very specific question as it relates to how to address this issue of mental illness. So if you are on the phone, that includes Marvin in Baltimore, Peggy in Columbia, and Calvin in Southeast D.C., please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. If you are trying to get through, please do not stop trying. I will take your phone call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Of course, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit. Stay with us.